Third part, question 30. The Annunciation. Article 1. Whether it was necessary to announce to the Blessed Virgin that which was to be done in her. It was reasonable that it should be announced to the Blessed Virgin that she was to conceive Christ, first in order to maintain a becoming order in the union of the Son of God with the Virgin, namely that she should be informed in mind concerning him before conceiving him in the flesh. Thus St. Augustine says, Mary is more blessed in receiving the faith of Christ than in conceiving the flesh of Christ. And further on he adds, her nearness as a mother would have been of no profit to Mary had she not borne Christ in her heart after a more blessed manner than in her flesh. Secondly, that she might be a more certain witness of this mystery, being instructed therein by God. Thirdly, that she might offer to God the free gift of her obedience, which she proved herself right ready to do, saying, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Fourthly, in order to show that there is a certain spiritual wedlock between the Son of God and human nature, wherefore in the Annunciation the Virgin's consent was besought in lieu of that of the entire human nature. Article 2. Whether the Annunciation should have been made by an angel to the Blessed Virgin. It was fitting for the mystery of Incarnation to be announced to the Mother of God by an angel for three reasons. First, that in this also might be maintained the order established by God, by which divine things are brought to men by means of the angels. Wherefore Dionysius says that the angels were the first to be taught the divine mystery of the loving kindness of Jesus, afterwards the grace of knowledge was imparted to us through them. Thus then, the most godlike Gabriel made known to Zechariah that a prophet son would be born to him, and to Mary how the divine mystery of the ineffable conception of God would be realized in her. Secondly, this was becoming to the restoration of human nature which was to be effected by Christ. Wherefore Venerable Bede says, It was an apt beginning of man's restoration that an angel should be sent by God to the Virgin who was to be hallowed by the divine birth, since the first cause of man's ruin was through the serpent being sent by the devil to cajole the woman by the spirit of pride. Thirdly, because this was becoming to the virginity of the Mother of God. Wherefore St. Jerome says, It is well that an angel be sent to the Virgin, because virginity is ever akin to the angelic nature. Surely to live in the flesh and not according to the flesh is not an earthly but a heavenly life. Article 3. Whether the angel of Annunciation should have appeared to the Virgin in a bodily vision. The angel of the Annunciation appeared in a bodily vision to the Blessed Virgin, and this indeed was fitting, first in regard to that which was announced. For the angel came to announce incarnation of the invisible God. Wherefore it was becoming that, in order to make this known, an invisible creature should assume a form in which to appear visibly. For as much as all the apparitions of the Old Testament are ordered to that apparition in which the Son of God appeared in the flesh. Secondly, it was fitting as regards the dignity of the Mother of God, who was to receive the Son of God not only in her mind, but in her bodily womb. Therefore it behooved not only her mind, but also her bodily senses to be refreshed by the angelic vision. Thirdly, it is in keeping with the certainty of that which was announced. For we apprehend with greater certainty that which is before our eyes than what is in our imagination. Thus St. John Chrysostom says that the angel came to the Virgin not in her sleep, but visibly, for since she was receiving from the angel a message exceeding great, before such an event she needed a vision of great solemnity. Article 4. Whether the Annunciation took place in becoming order. The Annunciation was made by the angel in a becoming manner, for the angel had a threefold purpose in regard to the Virgin. First, to draw her attention to the consideration of a matter of such moment. This he did by greeting her by a new and unique salutation. Wherefore Origen says that if she had known that similar words had been addressed to anyone else, she who had knowledge of the law would never have been astonished at the seeming strangeness of the salutation, in which salutation he began by asserting her worthiness of the conception by saying, Full of grace. Then he announced the conception in the words, The Lord is with thee. And then later through Elizabeth was foretold the honor which would result to her therefrom by saying, Blessed art thou among women. Secondly, he purposed to instruct her about the mystery of the incarnation which was to be fulfilled in her. This he did by foretelling the conception and birth, saying, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. And by declaring the dignity of the child conceived, saying, He shall be great. And further by making known the mode of conception when he said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Thirdly, he purposed to lead her mind to consent. This he did by the instance of Elizabeth and by the argument from divine omnipotence.